Hi, everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast bonus episode, WWE Fastlane Review. I am your host, and with me, as always, is my teenage son, Jackson. Say hello, Jack.
What's up?
Well, I apologize. We are a couple days later than we anticipated. Just been a busy week. But yeah. We still did want to sit down and talk about this experience that we had on Sunday night.
It's hard to say if I wanted to or not.
Sometimes talking about stuff we really didn't like is interesting for people, I think.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to say if it's really bad or not.
It was bad. I don't care. I'll say it right now.
And people we'll spoil it. Yeah, it's really bad.
Because when I listen to podcasts, I don't mind if they tell me, and then they get into details, right? So we did not enjoy this pay-per-view, and in fact, it is... No, it's not Thursday, sorry. It's Wednesday, right? Yeah, so I've been reading a bunch of reviews on this pay-per-view, and I think I can confidently say that, at least speaking for myself, I like this less than almost everybody did, because the reviews I read, there's a couple matches that I thought, well, they thought were amazing, and that I thought one was boring and one was good.
I don't think there's any amazing matches.
I would almost agree with you. I think I liked ones a bit more than you did, but there is one.
Even if there was good ones, I don't think any of them were amazing.
That's fair. I think there's one that, like, I was just looking and it's like 4.5 stars, 4.5 stars.
I'm not going to disagree that there wasn't any good ones, but I'm going to very much disagree that there was no amazing one.
Nothing. I'm giving 4.5 stars. If I were the match
you
reading
four
kind of guy.
Stars, like. I think 3 stars is the cap for this pay-per-view.
So if you like when we don't like things, then this is probably the review for you. And I would like to welcome anybody that's a new listener, just to let you know we do a weekly show on Saturdays where we tackle mostly the Wednesday Night Wars. We go in-depth on NXT and AEW Dynamite, but we also talk about Ring of Honor. We talk about Impact Wrestling. We talk about some news and rumors. We talk about some wrestling figures. We talk about some wrestling trivia. So it's generally a 2 to 3 hour show where we just kind of sit down and talk wrestling. So if you're interested in that, that'd be great to have you back on Saturday. But I guess we should get into this pay-per-view that happened and talk about that right now. Are you ready, Jack?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it. I don't think you watched any of the kickoff show, correct? Which I took that bullet for us. You did watch some of it?
Yeah.
Did you watch the match? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, then never mind. So we did get on the kickoff show. There was nothing really of note, right? I think, is this where they introduced the idea that Shane McMahon was possibly injured and not in his match, I think?
Yeah.
And then the only other useful thing we got was the United States Championship match.
As I predicted.
You did predict it. I was a little disappointed.
It was on the kickoff.
Because I like both of these guys and they can both go, but they got relegated to the kickoff show. And that was the U.S. Championship match between Matt Riddle and Mustafa Ali. Riddle defending, obviously, here. So Retribution, of course, is at ringside in support of Ali for this match.
Support. They look kind of like, show us you're good or whatever. Because I guess he's been yelling at them.
Yeah, he's going to sort of show them how it's done. Because he's been definitely a more aggressive and sort of in-your-face leader of the group. So this is him trying to set the example on how to actually win a match. Because as we know, nobody in Retribution ever wins anything.
I don't think any of them, because obviously they've never had any other names ever in the history of the earth.
They were born with these names.
They never know what it's like to win a wrestling
match.
They
do not.
No, they have no idea.
So this match starts out quickly with Riddle in control until Ali counters a senton with a head kick to sort of shift the momentum. Ali then continues to work over the neck and shoulder area of Riddle, but in the process of doing this, Ali tweaks his own knee during one of his own flurries. So then Riddle explodes with his standard chain of big moves that I always enjoy. It included a power bomb and a final flash
knee
strike.
Although since he's been on main roster, I enjoy it less.
Well, I just don't see it as often.
They tone it down.
It still looks cool when I
see
it.
They tone it down.
Do they? Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, they just make everything
suck more. They probably would because his, I don't know, it just looks too good almost, his offense, right? So Ali eventually got his knees up to block the floating bro to slow Riddle down again. Then we get a series of counters from both men, and Ali locks in a Koji clutch, which I thought looked pretty cool. I like the Koji clutch. Riddle managed to eventually escape and hitting a bro Derek from the second rope to retain his title.
That was pretty sweet. I like that.
It did look good.
I like them using the bro Derek again.
After the match, Ali is angry with the other Retribution members for some reason, even though he's the one that lost the match.
I guess not helping.
Right, I guess. So they're all in the ring and he's yelling at them. Eventually, Reckoning, which is what Mia Yim, right, walks off, followed by Slapjack. And then
Shane Thorne,
T-Bar, and Mace have had enough.
Dijakovic and Dio Madden.
So they do the sort of double choke bomb to Ali to, I guess, dissolve this faction, I would say.
Or just boot out Ali, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like it. I actually thought this match was pretty good, and Riddle got to showcase his unique fast offense with several moves strung together, as we mentioned. Could have been a really strong match if they just had built Retribution at all and maybe given this match another 5 minutes.
And put it on the actual show.
Yeah, regarding the match disbanding, it's really hard to care because these guys have been booked to look so weak since the minute they got here. Not even that I watch the main roster regularly, but I listen to lots of people who do. And I've seen a little bit of it, and it hasn't been good. I think Shane Thorne's actually a good hand. I would like to see him go back to NXT.
Yeah, he was cool. It sucks that Nick Miller has been gone because they were a decent little tag team.
Yeah, and Thorne is good in the ring. I don't think his character works amazing, but he could definitely... There's a place for him at NXT, I feel like. I'm wondering if Dijak and Mace, maybe them performing a tandem move means they're going to form a tag team or something. And that would be interesting because that's a pretty big
maybe
tag team.
Maybe they'll be like Rowan and Harper where they're just always together like
yeah.
in the faction or as their own tag team. Or like,
and Dijak's a good wrestler. Mace, I think, obviously is developing and he's not too strong yet.
Sucks.
Okay, but they could be like a big man tag team going forward if WWE cared at all about tag teams, but they don't, so they'll
just
toil in obscurity.
That's the biggest if.
Yeah, they'll just toil in obscurity. Yeah. I think even Mia Yim, who we're not a huge fan of, Reckoning obviously, she deserves better than this.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
much everybody deserves better
than Walmart,
this.
At Walmart, she sent me a picture of her Mia Yim's basic and said the face made her look constipated.
Nice.
Because it looks so, she's like
not good.
Yeah.
No, that's too bad. So I don't know. What do you think is going to happen with Ali now?
So he's, dealing with some knee issues.
Oh, he's injured. Okay.
But he's not getting surgery now, which is weird. So he might be getting surgery. I don't know. Something like that. Maybe this is writing him off. But he said, I think he's not getting surgery, but I feel like he could.
It's too bad. He's young. He's a good wrestler. He can talk really well. This was just... dead on arrival, this gimmick, this whole thing, right, was just ridiculous from the beginning. So I feel badly for him, and I hope that he can sort of recover from it, because he's the only one that wasn't wearing a mask, right? Everybody else, it's a little easier to repackage them, because it's just, hey, pop the mask off, give him a new outfit, and we're good to go. But Ali, we know this was him involved in this nonsense.
And he had already done a bit of stuff before this. Right. Not really anything.
Nothing major, but he's good. He deserves better. So I thought this was actually a pretty good kickoff match between a couple guys I quite like in ring. What did you think?
It was pretty good for kickoff standards, but I don't think that's a very high bar at all.
It's not. It's definitely not.
It was a decent match. I agree. There should have been more time, and I would have liked this on the main show. Would have probably helped the main show.
Yep.
I also don't give a crap about Retribution at all. I think they do deserve better. I think Slapjack's or Thorn is decent. Dijakovic was pretty cool, especially against Keith Lee
and him should just wrestle every day.
Yeah, and Dio Madden is a terrible commentator. I can't imagine he's a better wrestler.
He's got a cool look though.
Yeah,
he
and
looks cool.
I don't really care for, so mostly just Shane Thorne
and Ali,
Dijak and Ali, yes. Hopefully, especially Ali, because I feel like he's got the most potential.
And I get more annoyed thinking about this match, considering for me, there were two things coming up we're going to talk about on the main card that I felt were an absolute waste of my time by WWE. That this match could have replaced both of those things, in my opinion, and give it an extra 5 to 8 minutes or something and make it really good.
I think one of them's had a storyline building, though, for a while.
Yes, it has. But, anyways, it was a pretty good kickoff.
The best matches of the show, so that's not good. It was on the kickoff, and it's one of the best matches, so
that might actually be true. I'd have to think about it, but I liked it definitely better than several things on the main show.
Oh yes,
which, funny enough, we'll get into right now. So Fastlane proper starts out with the women's tag team championship match between Shayna Baszler
and Nia Jax
versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, and this was the beginning.
AKA the WrestleMania opponents.
This is just like some of the most predictable stuff happening in this. So I don't know if you want to pull up, because we did predictions, right? If you want to find that while I'm going over this match, because we can talk about
it. I already have it.
But I feel like we nailed a lot of predictions here. So anyways.
Nothing too like difficult to predict, I think.
No. This match, the heels right away have some communication issues. And they're even arguing to the point where Nia Jax tags herself in when Baszler is already has an advantage. So I don't know if this is like teasing some sort of dissension in this team, or it's just a heel team that disagrees sometimes or what, but it was pretty much right away. We then get Jax and Baszler. They do start working together better once they see that Banks and Belair are actually going to work together and cooperate, so the heels decide they should as well. We do get some decent action along the way. Belair hit a nice 450 to Baszler at one point, but of course Reginald jumps onto the ring apron to provide a distraction.
I don't get why he's still a fixture.
And again, as a person not watching main roster, I have no idea what he's just sort of there, and he's been there with different characters, right?
Yeah,
so he doesn't
do much
for me.
He kind of got, like, because I remember the one time I think he was tagging with Belair and Banks against Carmella, and I think
right.
a couple other people because they needed a partner, and then so he got fired by Carmella, and he has a crush on Sasha Banks, and then he got rejected by Banks, and now he's with Jax and Baszler because Jax thinks he's kind of cute, and then she took him on a shopping spree, and
wow.
Yeah,
bottom line, three of these four wrestlers are awesome, and I don't think they need any extra addition by this guy, but anyways,
looking at you, Nia Jax, you suck.
Back to the match. Banks locks Baszler in the bank statement, and moments later Belair jumps in the ring to keep Jax from breaking the hold. And so Jax shoves Belair backwards onto Banks, and the bank statement is broken here.
Belair fails.
And Banks and Belair start arguing about this. Sasha doesn't understand what happened. Belair is trying to explain, hey, I just got shoved into you by a monster. And of course, this allows Baszler to roll up Banks for the win to retain the titles. Banks and Belair then continue to argue after the match about who was at fault or whatever happened for this loss. And eventually, Banks slaps Belair and storms off. So we talk about WWE and wrestling in general being predictable, but not always being a bad thing. This was predictable in a bad way for me. Not only was the winner super easy to predict in this, I thought, the fallout between Belair and Banks is also easy to see coming from a mile away, because clearly they're
yeah.
opponents for WrestleMania, and they have to start generating some sort of tension and heat between them.
Probably even though like they are starting to generate, it's still a little too little. Too little, too late, in my opinion.
This yeah.
should be kind of have been building for a while.
I like the decision to make Sasha the heel, at least. That makes sense to me. But
yeah, because I always thought Belair would be a better heel, because like just the whole EST character. But like I think they've actually done a smart job of making her face. Just
and I,
like...
But I also think they've done not a great job, because I was pretty pumped after her Royal Rumble win.
Yeah,
and
that's
that
what
promo.
I mean. Like around that like right. Rumble with like the package. Because like you can really... book her either way. She can do like the whole EST thing mm-hmm. and like all that, and or she can like be like kind of like the multi-talented and kind of like the face for like women of color and like
yep.
whatnot, right? So like she can really go either way. I think they started out smart with like the documentary and the Rumble.
Yeah, the celebration and interview post Rumble was awesome, and then it just sort of
I think it's
like,
all gone to crap.
Right, it hasn't. They haven't built on that in a way that I hoped, because I wanted to be excited for Belair and Sasha at Mania, because they could have an awesome match, and the beginning of a cool build was there, and I feel like they sort of dropped the ball along the way. But
oh, no, they have for sure.
So just talking about this match again, there was some sloppiness to begin with, and it was actually Belair had a couple minor issues at the beginning, it seemed like, but the action did pick up, and I was just honestly starting to get into this match, and then it was basically over. I thought the action involving the three competitors not named Nia was pretty good, but it wasn't exactly a hot opener, right? And it was a
No, it was not.
The predictable nature of this entire thing, the outcome, the problems between Belair and Banks made it hard for me to get into it. And what a surprise, we get a distraction roll-up basically, right, for the finish.
Mm-hmm.
How creative. In addition, just on a personal note, I can't stand the way they booked Belair after this match. She gets shoved, poked, and slapped by Banks and yelled at the whole time, and basically has no
response.
And
all she is like, oh, you slap me? Really?
She looks shocked
you
and upset.
Me?
And I don't care right. if she's the babyface. This isn't the Belair I want. Even as a babyface, she needs to show more fire than this, and she's being openly disrespected
like...
here and did nothing about it, and... she is super believable as a no-nonsense
yeah.
butt kicker, even as a babyface. So
yeah.
I really did not like the way they treated mm-hmm. her post-match here. I don't think it helped her at all.
Yeah. Even,
thoughts?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but she needs to be less Trey Miguel and more
yes.
opposite.
Yes. She, like, you got pushed, poked, and slapped by Sasha Banks and you did nothing other than touch your face and look surprised. But anyways, what did you think of the match and the aftermath?
I honestly can't tell if this is better or worse than the match from Elimination Chamber. It's really hard to tell because they both kind of sucked,
right,
in my opinion. The finish was very creative. I'm very proud of them for coming up with such great
sarcasm
stuff. Of course I'm being sarcastic. That was crap. And also, get Reginald out of my face.
I was just getting into the match and then it was done.
And get Nia Jax off my screens for the rest of time.
Hey, nobody got hurt, so that's a win.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I guess we should be thankful.
Nia hurt nobody, so that's good.
Yeah, I agree. Belair looked kind of like a chump at the end. Sasha should be a heel, but Belair should not be a chump. We both picked this one right, and we both picked the kickoff match.
Surprise, surprise. Two guys that don't watch main roster predicting things accurately. Yeah, Banks is an amazing heel, so that makes sense to me. It's just the way they've handled it isn't my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get some commercial things, and the broadcast team is hyping WrestleMania tickets being on sale. And then we get the sort of story of Shane McMahon holding his leg in pain and telling us that he suffered an injury in training.
And he's got his one pant sleeve rolled up with tape heavily around his knee, just to show you that if you didn't think he was injured, he's injured. And he's got to show you the bandaging or whatever around his knee. In case you didn't believe
him. Bad injury.
Right.
He's then, we get Shane backstage walking using a crutch with his knee wrapped, as you said, and Elias and Jackson Riker sort of show up. Elias makes a pitch to Shane about WrestleMania, and Shane isn't interested at first, but then he told him that he had an interesting idea, which I can't imagine.
Right on the spot, Elias versus take his place against Strowman.
Yet more predictable. And again, a nice replacement on a pay-per-view card. And that, why couldn't the U.S. title match replace this filler? But anyways, we'll get there.
It was the most TV match ever.
Because it wasn't even the next match. Up next, we get the Intercontinental Championship, which I was kind of looking forward to, which is Big E versus Apollo Crews. And I'm sort of just getting up to speed on Apollo Crews' character change. I actually quite like it. I like the idea. And as someone who doesn't watch main roster regularly, I have to say that I really picked up that it really felt like these guys do not like each other at the beginning of this match. Big E was yelling at him a whole bunch, right? And it felt like there's heat between them. They did a good job of convincing me.
Also, the pre-match package really helped.
It did.
Because, Crews lost to him twice, and he's like, I want another opportunity. Biggie's kind of like, I beat you twice. Yes. Stop whining. And then Crews, kind of just started beating him up with steel steps, and, he turned heel, and then Biggie's now, pissed off, which I kind of liked.
And I think Apollo, this character change is so good for him. He seems so much more comfortable speaking and just in character. Big E was really good in those recaps as well. So yeah, I was sort of feeling like there was an intense rivalry coming into this. So I was looking forward to this match because both these guys can wrestle. So let's see what happens. The match starts with an immediate brawl and Big E basically hits a spear through the ropes to the floor. And he did it to the open side, to the ramp, which I always like because when he does it with the barricade right there, I get really nervous that somebody's going to get seriously hurt because he is a big man moving pretty quickly. Big E continues to dominate Crews in the early going. He hits two really nice looking splashes on the ring apron, although I'm not quite sure why Crews stuck around for the second one, but he did and he took two. And then Crews also takes a suplex multiple times back in the ring. Crews finally has to go low with a dropkick to Big E's knee to sort of stop the onslaught of offense from Big E. And then Crews takes his turn on offense and he looked good doing a whole bunch of things. I'm just kind of going quickly. We get to the very confusing end with some sort of pinfall where both of them kind of look down and there's some reversals. And then apparently Big E had Cruz's shoulders down to score the pinfall and retain the title. But like I told you, this was never replayed again, right? I was saying there was at first when they don't replay it right away, that means they're looking for an angle that doesn't look like garbage in the control truck or whatever, right? And clearly they couldn't find one because this was never replayed again for the whole night.
Right.
So it wasn't just us that didn't understand the end. Apparently nobody else, the commentary team, had trouble explaining it. But anyways, Big E wins in a very unclear situation. And Apollo Crews snaps after the match, beats down Big E with several of his angle slam, and then stands over Big E to end this match.
Mm-hmm. So you picked it right. I did not.
This one?
Yes.
I'm a genius.
No.
So again, I was just getting into this match and it was over, and even in a less satisfying way than the women's tag match, I would suggest, because I was just like, what? It's done? We couldn't even tell really what was going on. The pinfall was unclear. The commentary team had no idea what happened. We were never shown a replay again or offered any clarification on this. While it lasted, I thought both men looked aggressive in their offense and they both got a little bit time to shine. But again, this mess of a finish, it just kind of ended out of nowhere and took me out of it a little bit. I like Cruz's new character, and from what I've seen, I think these two are capable of a much better match than this. It wasn't bad, but the end certainly was bad, and the entire thing was, it just ends up being forgettable, like this pay-per-view so far. Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I thought they were having a really nice little match until that weird finish. The only thing that I'm okay with the finish is that it kind of saves face for Apollo Crews.
It does, right?
So he's got an argument. There's that, which I like, because I think he should get the title. I think it'll help him. I think he should have just gotten here.
So are they going back to this for Mania, you think?
I would assume so. They got two nights to fill. They kind of have to, right?
And I don't see any of them. It's coming up pretty quickly, right? So it seems like they'll just extend, which I'm okay with, right? A bigger match with a proper ending.
Although I would rather Nakamura get a good IC title run.
Silly boy.
Than Apollo Crews, because I think Apollo Crews is less good than Nakamura. But
yeah. I'm liking Crews right now.
That's not going to happen.
I'm open to a rematch.
I want Nakamura to do something.
Fair enough.
Anyways, I thought the match was fine. It was one of the better things, but even then kind of was lame.
Right. So they're just like taking matches that are kind of okay or getting good, and then ridiculous finishes sort of take away from it for me so far. We then get another ads or whatever, and one of them's for deodorant, and R-Truth is there losing the WWE 24/7 title to the spokesperson for Old Spice,
who's played by Eric Bugenhagen.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, Rick Bugs is the same person.
I didn't even notice that. I'm just learning that information now.
You wrote Rick Bugs,
though. I know, but I didn't remember that was Bugenhagen. I got that from somewhere else.
Bugenhagen, yes.
That's funny. And then he pins him again to regain it. And the whole time, Tozawa sort of shows up at the end and yells at Bugenhagen, I guess. I don't know. I'm just putting it in here because it happened.
We skipped it. I just literally saw Tozawa yelling. I knew he looked familiar. And then I discovered that it was Bugenhagen. And I was like, oh.
And then we get Shane McMahon in the ring introducing Elias, who's in the ring with a man, Jackson Ryker. Shane is sort of suggesting this is going to be a preview of Elias's performance at WrestleMania. And as Elias starts playing, Shane interrupts him and tells him that, surprise, surprise, Elias will replace Shane in the match and Elias will face Braun Strowman right now, basically. So Shane leaves the ring and Braun Strowman makes his entrance in his ridiculously tight shirt. And we get Braun Strowman versus Elias. And it made Jack laugh because I'm colorblind. So I thought the shirt was basically skin color.
Yeah, and it's like so tight. He looks like the world's like worst lumber. He looks like a terrible lumberjack.
Because you said it's what, olive green?
Right, and he does not look like a monster. He looks like an average Joe.
And to my colorblind eyes, it looked like a skin colored
Right, he just looks so stupid. And speaking of people looking stupid, we'll get to that later.
We will. So again, the injured knee. So we get Elias in for Shane McMahon, and Riker's there, and he teases getting involved several times. Finally, he is able to provide enough distraction to allow Elias to hit a chop block and an elbow drop off the top rope. Strowman is then able to kick out and hits basically a running power slam.
Out, which I knew he would do.
Right, and hits a running power slam for the win moments later.
Wow.
So this is where it's good I've had a few days to sort of relax, because this match made me really angry and I was starting to get annoyed with this pay-per-view in general. It's clear that they're now just wasting my time, right? And how is this a pay-per-view match? I had no interest in it with Shane involved, and then switching it to Elias certainly didn't make me any more involved in it.
Right. It's like you're going to replace a non-wrestler with a low-card wrestler. Woo!
This was an unannounced match that was a squash on a pay-per-view that I had to sit through, and I just was annoyed greatly by this, and it was a waste of my time and everyone else's. What did you think?
All I have to say about it is gross.
Yeah, what is this doing on TV?
Yeah, I really don't have a lot to say about it. It was short and, oh my god, so pointless.
So we'll move on. So Riddle and Shinsuke Nakamura are chatting backstage.
Because Riddle scooters by. Oh my god,
poor Riddle. Riddle tried to talk to Nakamura into going into business with him. He starts telling him a story.
I hate this like gimmick that he's doing where like he's got these business ideas.
His cousin Skeeter the Skater.
Yeah, and he's got these business ideas and he's acting all stupid. That's not his character.
And again, this was super predictable because he starts telling the story and the camera zooms in on Riddle. Right. And immediately we go, Nakamura is going to be
other,
gone.
Why other reason would you zoom in on Riddle?
So he does Matt his, Riddle. Just, he sounds like an idiot. And I don't know, maybe that's the plan, but I'm not ever going to like him in this character. So he finishes talking and looks around and Nakamura's gone. And then we sort of, Riddle walks away and you see Nakamura sort of lingering in the background like he had intentionally hidden from, to get away from Riddle, which I can't blame him, frankly, because I don't want to listen to Riddle either.
Nope.
So anyways, that was a pay-per-view promo, people. Riddle. Restaurant quality, as JR would say, right. Promo
and
right
I love
there.
Matt Riddle, he's great.
We do, we both love Riddle. And Nakamura. So anyways, we get to...
And they had a crappy segment together.
Our next match, which is Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura, which, I mean...
On paper.
I was going to say, like, could be a dream match, kind of, if they...
We already got it a few years ago.
Right, if everything were right. But it wasn't, so here we go.
And the funny thing is, I remember that match being, like, pretty good. Like, it was main roster match, and that was way better than this.
Shinsuke's had some... Him and AJ, I feel like people selectively don't remember that they've had some disappointing matches that were supposed to be amazing.
No, they have, especially against each other.
And I was just going to say, including with each other, because all right. I hear is everything AJ's amazing. You look back shortly after he joined, he had some like disappointing pay-per-view performances. But anyways.
I remember probably against Jinder Mahal, because I know he had a match against Jinder Mahal. Nakamura had some like with... Rusev and Jeff Hardy. Well, I remember the Jeff Hardy one being good because remember he missed the swanton on the apron. That was kind of cool. And
anyways, we don't need a rundown of everything. There were some disappointing ones. I remember them. I don't remember specifically, but I just remember going.
No, I know.
Because you're so pumped for AJ Styles and WWE on a pay per view, and you're like, oh, I guess. That
I remember
was okay.
Even like AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins a couple years back. It was pretty good. Like it was decent. But it shouldn't be pretty good,
should
if
be
you know
amazing.
What I mean, right?
So let's talk about this match. Maybe it was amazing. It wasn't. Rollins starts out quickly, taking the fight to Nakamura, both inside and outside the ring.
Taking the fight.
And then Rollins starts to taunt Nakamura, and he's clearly obsessed with the 22 times that Cesaro swung him on the big swing. He's talking about that in the ring, and you can
like,
hear him.
Recently, has he swung on 22 times? I don't think so. Maybe like total, because maybe he's been swung.
No,
before.
It was the one time. I think he swung him 22 times on SmackDown the last time.
Like 22
like revolutions
in like one swing. Okay,
that's what he's
upset about.
I thought
he meant like 22 separate times.
No, that's what Rollins is upset
about.
Could
you imagine like 22 separate times?
So Rollins then tries for a swing of his own, but Nakamura counters it into an armbar. Nakamura and Rollins begin trading offensive flurries here. Nakamura seemed ready to end things with a Kinshasa. But Rollins countered with an elbow to the back of the neck, followed by a kick to the neck. With Nakamura down, basically Rollins hits the curb stomp for the win. I believe I predicted this one as well, yes? Mm-hmm. I think we both probably did.
Yeah, we both did. And I remember there was the one move where Rollins jumped over Nakamura and then like hit him with the kick to the back of the head.
Yeah, that looked kind of cool.
That and then Loki called him out for stealing that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Stealing. Wrestlers like... Like, wrestlers invent these moves. Everything's been done, man, at this point.
He's used it once.
Yeah. Yeah. This match was, it's a specialty of ours, totally fine. And easily the best thing on the pay-per-view so far, but the bar is really low, as Jack would be quick to point out.
I don't know. I almost like Big E and Creed better even though it's shorter and had a crappy finish. Because
just maybe you expected so much from this
one. Right,
and
this one was just way too mediocre. Like,
yep. I just was about to say it would have been a very good TV match, right? But
right,
this is a pay-per-view. So it was basically, I think that how I would describe it is solid but forgettable. And these two guys are capable of way more than this. So again, it's disappointing. Yet again, it doesn't help that I never for a second believed that Nakamura would win this match, right? It just feels like they're not focusing on him, and Rollins is generally, if he's healthy and there, he's going to be focused on. So
I mean, Rollins sick, but
I thought this was like a B-level match on a show filled with worse, so it looked okay pretty much. You?
I agree. It was just mediocre, and these guys are awesome. I think both of them have a plethora of great matches you could go back and watch.
For sure.
Both of them have got bad matches, but that happens. But I think when you combine the two of them together, you expect good things from it. I don't think we got that here.
Nope.
And it maybe also it's partly Rollins.
The placement on the card, right? It's yeah. not there's not a lot of focus on right. this match, really.
And Rollins is wearing a new attire, but wasn't that interesting. And the match was boring. But we're gonna get into a match that's even more boring somehow.
This one gets interesting. This is where we get into, I guess, what they call in the world of podcasting and talking heads and whatnot, hot takes, because we move into Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus in a no holds barred match.
Which I'm pretty sure they had on Raw already. Which, and remember, I showed you the clip of them colliding with the stairs. Yes, and then Drew McIntyre comically falls over the barricade. And then Sheamus does an Eddie Kingston impression.
And people freaking love this match. And
they must be like casual fans or main roster, like, what do you call it?
Shills,
yes.
What made this even harder for me is we just watched Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa like
kill
tear
each other.
The house down. In a match of similar
right, and even
stipulation.
Omega and Mox.
Right.
In recent memory. Thin explosion aside, match itself.
Yep. So let's talk about this.
Let's talk about it.
It took a little time after the brawling started for the action to spill outside the ring. And then, of course, we get a variety of weapons come out from under the ring. A pile of kendo sticks were among it. Sheamus was quick to use them to mark up the front and back of McIntyre's torso. This is part of it, right?
To show that they got battle scars in the match.
Like, yes, they beat each other with these sticks, but that happens all the time.
Right,
There's
and that's the
special.
Only thing that's giving them marks is because, like, I think they know the sticks will give them marks. So it's like, oh, yeah, hit each other with sticks. And then, like, the next thing we can make, oh, these guys beat the hell each other. Look at the marks on them and blah, 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 blah.
So then McIntyre obviously gets his turn with the kendo stick and he does the same thing, and including taking the end to Sheamus's eye.
I love that. His turn with the kendo stick.
Basically. and then things continue. The fight moves through the Thunderdome and we fight.
Even though it's not falls kind of anywhere, which annoys me more because then you know it can't end, if you know what I mean.
So they fight their way into the stands, right, to a spot where they're ready to, one of them gets thrown, Sheamus gets thrown through a set of the screens, which looked kind of cool. I don't know.
It looked kind of cheesy because, like, and it also looks stupid because McIntyre throws him face first into this one thing, right? And then he throws him through the other one and he goes through it. It's like, why didn't he go through the other one? Because
this
McIntyre
one was set up to
with,
explode.
Like, right, with like little force. Well, like the landing was, I think.
Exactly.
Kind of like the landmines in AEW.
Yes.
But this just looks stupid because like he throws him into the other one and then he throws him into another one with the same force and he goes crashing through it. Like, it really did not make any sense to me.
So McIntyre tries to get Sheamus back in the ring so he could get the pinfall, but Sheamus knocks him over the ringside barrier with a brogue kick, and it hits a white noise through the announce table, which actually looked pretty cool, I thought. McIntyre's able to come back, and eventually he hits a Future Shock DDT on a chair, I think it was, if I remember
in the
correctly.
Ring?
Yeah.
It was on a piece of the announce table.
Oh, that's right. And then a Claymore to score the win.
To mercifully put this to an end.
So I have just like, hey, another match where the winner was never in doubt, right? Like, not for
Except
a minute.
This one was almost more painful.
Never for a second did I think Sheamus was going to win. And again, I've read several reviews of this show and consensus seems to be that this match was very good to excellent. And I simply couldn't disagree
and
much more.
And you know
more.
What I find amusing is just looking at the documents that the notes you got for this match are really short, but yet you covered it, like, pretty much perfectly.
Yeah.
Which, because, like, there's a lot of punchy, punchy, kick,
punch,
kick.
Punchy,
and
punch.
And just nothing of note. So I think, like, this was a really a match you could really, like, summarize.
People loved it, man. I don't know what's wrong with us, but
I don't know what's wrong
maybe,
with people.
Again, maybe it's we just saw an incredible weapons match, and I'm kind of comparing it, and it doesn't compare.
Or because this was just, like, Edge versus Orton from WrestleMania, a long weapons match that sucked.
There was basic weapon stuff. Yes, kendo sticks. Wow. And then it was a lot of walking and punching to areas that were set up for spots, right? Like punch, 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 walk, walk, walk. Okay, we're in front of the TV screens now. Get thrown into them. Punch, 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 walk, walk, walk. We're at the announce table. Let's do something.
Yeah.
Right? So it left me a little bit bored. I'm not going to lie. They beat the hell out of each other for sure. But so what?
A bit.
And again, maybe if I watched this product regularly and I'd seen the build for this, I would have liked it better.
I don't even
I doubt
think
it.
That would help.
But I'm trying to give them a chance, right? As it was, I thought it was a really basic plodding big man plunder match.
Even if like you didn't like, because we both knew Sheamus was not going to
of
win,
course.
Right?
But that's
I think
part of the
even
problem.
If even if you didn't think that, I feel like this match still would have been not enjoyable.
Yeah, and Britt and Thunder Rosa had an exponentially better violent bloody match, and it was on TV for free, right? So this is a problem. So again, many people love this match. I thought it was worse than Rollins' Nakamura match and probably the Intercontinental match, if you want to be honest. So I honestly wonder if people giving this 4 stars and A ratings are just shills for the main roster, or I'm just out of touch, or I'm missing something. But I just did not enjoy this match. I would say I was bored for a good chunk of this. I feel like you were too.
I think I was on my phone on this match, and I didn't even feel bad about it.
Not going to apologize for it.
No, it's like sometimes I am a bit on NXT and I'm like, oh, if there's something interesting, I'll stop. But like, I did not feel bad. I did not care to stop. I did not like.
So if someone would like to contact us in feedback and let us know, like,
and get into an argument because you think we're wrong, yeah, go ahead.
Because Music did contact us again, our most loyal person, listener that contacts us. And I think I told you he appreciated your figuring it out segment because he's thinking of getting his son some action figures. So shout out to Music again. I assume it's a he. I don't know for sure, but I think it is. So shout out to him for listening us, liking us, and sending us some feedback, which is always appreciated. So then we move on to some more
Go excitement. On, say it with a straight face.
So let me set this up, because I'm going to be really negative here. And if you listen to this show, you know I try not to be. I try to be the positive one, but I do have troubles with supernatural magic gimmick stuff in wrestling.
Hardy. You love Matt Hardy.
But that was a little bit different, I guess. I don't know. Anyways. So I already am not into this idea of The Fiend and Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton, but that is the match we get next. It's Randall Keith Orton versus Alexandria Louise Bliss. I don't know. I made that part up. I just figured I should have middle names for both of them.
No, that's fair.
So before the match, Jack was excited because Orton once again is coughing up some black goo.
I was being sarcastic, and like I was in the package, I was just chanting black goo, black goo, black
goo. It was ridiculous.
And then he bought a black goo, and I was just like, yeah.
So
it's really funny. It just looks so weird. And one of the parts that in the promo package that they talked about was like Randy Orton on a monitor talking to himself,
right,
in an evil voice, because like, oh, Alexa Bliss is haunting him, and Randy Orton just did a pre-tape. Okay, yeah,
and I'm just out on it because that's just ridiculous.
No, I think this is stupid too, and I think, like I said, they should have shortened this. Like, this should have started at the Rumble.
Yeah,
like,
and Jack's a big Fiend fan, so let's see where this goes. Orton tries to attack once the match begins, but Bliss sort of moves out of the way, and Orton crashes shoulder first into the ring post. Then a little bit later outside the ring.
Oh, you missed the fire. There's like the fire in the ring that she.
Oh, yeah. She summons fire.
Bliss is like a freaking sorceress witch
she
now.
She shoots a fireball at some point.
She didn't get all of it.
She's didn't get all of it. That's right. They actually said that.
She got like lights to fall.
I was just
going to
say
ceiling,
she
like,
summoned the lights to fall and just narrowly
like
missed
witch
Orton.
Like...
So I'm already annoyed by this. And Bliss is laughing as the lights almost kill Orton.
As
then she
you
taunts
were,
him,
I think.
Taunts him back in the ring, shoots a fireball. Yeah, I laughed out loud several times, which is not, I don't think, the desired effect this
no.
is supposed to have. But
no,
it's just so
like,
stupid.
Oh my God, she's trying to kill him. Not.
So then it gets even better because this burned hand emerges.
Didn't you? I'm pretty sure you chuckled when you saw that.
Oh, I laughed pretty hard.
I did kind of laugh as well.
So if this hand emerges from through a hole in the canvas of the ring, grabs Orton's ankle, and then the Fiend comes through and he's like all burned and half melted or whatever, which is just ridiculous. And I laughed and laughed. Bliss shoves Orton forward into the Fiend, and that allows him to hit the Sister Abigail, and Bliss covers Randy Orton for the 3 count. Oh my goodness. This was laughably bad. I did laugh several times. As I said, I'm out on supernatural storylines, so I'm definitely biased. But this was a steaming pile of crap, and it furthered my anger towards this show. This is the second significant segment match, whatever, that's just an absolute waste of my time. I am thankful that this pay-per-view is included in my network subscription. Because if I'd actually paid
money... Oh my God,
money,
could you imagine if the network had never been invented?
If I had paid whatever it is, $40-$50 for this show, I would have been furious. I feel like an idiot even talking about the content of this match, and I hate when WWE makes me feel this way. This is one of those things, like, Wrestling is already uncool enough to the mainstream. Yeah, we get
enough flack for this, right?
And if this would be tough to defend, like if a non...
Oh, for sure.
If a non-wrestling person walked into the room, if your mother walked in... I think this
and then Attitude Era Wrestling.
If your mom walked in, she'd be like, what the hell are you guys watching, right? And I would have... I would struggle to defend myself against that question.
I'm watching a burn victim come back from the dead.
Yeah, no big deal. And yes, she's summoning fireballs and lights to fall and stuff. Of course, yes, she is.
Yeah.
This was bad, so very, very bad, and made me angry. What did you think?
Yeah, as soon as The Fiend came out, I was just like, I just kept repeating why over and over again, because I was just beyond confused. Like, I wish this was video so I could just put up a picture, because I have it right here of his mask. The mask is the only, like, tolerable part. He's got, like, it's, like, kind of charred in parts and the white in parts, and it's got, like, these big veins, and, like, apparently being burned will fix one of your eyes back to normal,
because... I guess so.
One of his eyes appears to look normal.
It's like Christmas Vacation. Falls down a well, eyes go across, kicked by a mule,
right.
Go back to normal.
Right, and then his ring attire looks like he was a mummy who went shopping at, like, Bass Pro Shops or something. Like, it resembles, I think, the mask is the only thing that resembles anything close to his old ring attire. Like, how does that make sense? He looks nothing like he did.
So you're suggesting that his burned clothing does not look like the clothes he was wearing that he got burned in?
Right.
Okay.
It should, right?
It should. Like, of course. That'd be a detail they could get. I think
his vest or whatever he's wearing looks freaking stupid.
Yep.
I don't mind the mask. It looks pretty dumb, but, like, it's, dare I say, reasonable for the gimmick, right? Like, I think that's... But this is really stupid, and so I'll talk about the match first. Like, yeah, it was not a match. And
no, it wasn't.
So our predictions were, I predicted The Fiend returns and you predicted Bliss. So I guess we're both kind of right, sort of.
Hey, I got the win. The winner of the match. That's, so, have I been wrong on anything yet? No, right? Yeah. I told you it was predictable.
Yeah. And I just think all the summoning was stupid, and fireballs are overdone, especially in the storyline, I think. The Fiend's back, so yeah, I should be happy, but I'm not.
Nope.
They ruin everything, even one of their homegrown talents in Bray Wyatt. The Fiend was freaking awesome when he came, like, so awesome. And this is what he is now. If you had told me, like, a year and a half ago or something when he debuted, that he was going to look like this, right, the picture, and be freaking stupid, I would have punched you in the face. But this is just beyond stupid.
And I actually feel bad for Bliss too, because I think she's a good performer. She's not amazing in the ring, but she's a really good character and actor. And I don't know. I even her walking to the ring, I was laughing, because it's just ridiculous.
Like, her theme mashup. And we saw the picture on Raw of The Fiend, and he just looks like normal, like he does. So he made the joke about Kane when he unmasked. Right. He had, like, the burn marks. And then, like, healed. The next week, he's just, like, completely bald and everything.
It's a Seinfeld episode. Who told you to put the bomb on it?
Right. And I don't know. I just thought this was so stupid. Like, I mean, The Fiend looking burned, I think it'd be kind of cool if, like, he's just kind of, like, Bliss's Frankenstein, kind of.
Yeah, because that's what I was saying. It looked like she's sort of pulling the strings and maybe the one in control, which is something.
If The Fiend had been normal this whole time and this had never happened, I would have been against it, because, like, he's still, like, the duality kind of with the Bray Wyatt, right? So it wouldn't make sense, but now I think that does make sense. But this is just so stupid. Like, even when they're not from NXT, they managed to ruin stuff. They ruined another one of my boys, and it was so ridiculous and awful.
It wasn't good.
It's beyond, like, you gotta go watch this segment. Even, like, the rip in the mat when he's, like, ripping open is, like, comically, like, audible, I think it is.
Right.
But go watch this, and also go watch the Raw segment as well.
I watched the one you sent me.
Yeah.
I checked it out. It was pretty lame, too.
Yeah, it was more the same. And it's ridiculous. And if you want to see the mask not in weird pink or red lighting, then there's a WrestleMania graphic on the Instagram, but anyways, this was not good, and I am just so sad.
So that put me in a certain type of mood for the main event, unfortunately.
Oh, no, me too, for sure.
Which, I mean, and this is coming into the second match that people seem to absolutely love. I think I'm a little higher on this match than you were, but we'll talk about it.
No, so it was probably the best match of the show, I think.
Yeah, it is for Maybe? The Universal Championship, Roman Reigns defending against Daniel Bryan again. right off the bat, in my mind, there's zero chance that Daniel Bryan is winning this. So that sort of takes me out of it a little bit, especially for some of the near falls. But anyways, so Bryan at the beginning, I really liked because he's almost playful early on, right? Like just sort of showing Roman Reigns that Reigns can't keep up with him on a hold for hold basis. And I really like that. He's like smirking at him and just like he's too quick for him and he knows too many counters for him. So I thought that was really cool. Bryan sort of getting in Reigns' head early on with takedowns and holds. Then he's throwing jabs to the body and leg kicks and sort of dodging Reigns' any sort of counterattack. Reigns tries for a headlock takedown but gets caught in a submission, finally having to resort to throwing a headbutt, sort of almost like a cheap shot to have any chance on offense here. Reigns takes control for a while with his power before Bryan shifts the momentum back with a series of kicks, and then Roman eventually catches him and applies a Boston Crab. Bryan was able to fire back yet again, landing offense outside the ring and then a knee to the arm of Reigns, attempting to soften him up for the yes lock later, I would assume. Reigns eventually snaps and attacks Bryan in the corner while ignoring the referee, but Bryan continues to fire back, hitting Hurricanrana and a pair of kicks to the head for a near fall. Bryan then lands a series of stomps to the face before rolling into a yes lock and re-securing the hold after Reigns nearly escaped.
I can't remember if this is the first one or the second one, but I thought there were a couple really cool transitions into the yes lock in this match. I think this is one of them by Bryan, which I thought was really cool.
I thought half of the performance in this match was amazing. We'll get to that. Reigns manages to break Bryan's grip and land a flurry of punches, leading to Bryan inadvertently taking out the referee with a running knee. Reigns and that referee's down for a long time. That's one hell of a knee, right? It took him out for a very extended period.
It is the
period.
Finisher.
He actually never came back.
Right. It is a finisher, to be fair, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Reigns hits a spear and Edge now makes, because he's been at the ring as the enforcer doing nothing this whole time.
He was like doing nothing. I'm just like, he's standing there. You're like, he's enforcing.
Yeah, that's how you enforce. You just stand there.
Which I thought was funny.
So he takes this opportunity to slide into the ring to make the count, but Bryan actually kicks out. So I guess enforcer means your backup referee, as they explained.
I mean, Mike, that's what Mike Tyson did at WrestleMania,
I guess,
for Austin.
So there is precedent for it. So as Reigns argues with Edge and tries to attack Bryan, Bryan locks in a triangle choke before transitioning to a yes lock, which looked really cool, and landing crossface strikes.
Yeah, that was the other one.
Jey Uso then runs in and delivers a super kick to Edge and another one to Bryan before grabbing a steel chair from ringside, only to be hit with a running knee from Daniel Bryan. Bryan goes to hit Reigns with the chair, but Reigns moves, causing Bryan to hit Edge before being hit with a Superman punch. Bryan then counters a spear back into the yes lock, and Reigns, I thought this was a really cool touch, begins tapping out, but obviously there's no ref, there's no Edge. So Edge hits Bryan with the chair now, and then Reigns, before storming off, a new referee conveniently comes out
I wonder if he's an NXT ref.
He waited until this moment to come out.
I'm just kidding, he's not.
Never before. bless you. And Reigns crawls to cover Bryan for the victory.
Which I find odd, because he also got hit, so I don't get why he's able to.
And I'm not, like, explain to me, why does Edge want to stop Daniel Bryan? Is it because he just wants
Roman? Because
he got
hit, I guess.
No, but like, why doesn't he let Daniel Bryan win? Is it because he wants specifically to face, I guess he chose Roman Reigns, right?
Right, yeah, one, okay. He chose Roman, and that feud's been building a bit.
Wouldn't he think...
And, like, he also kind of got hit with Bryan, so he's like, oh, you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you.
But wouldn't you think, like, in theory, the way it's booked, like, he's the ultimate opportunist. Shouldn't he take the opportunity to face a quote-unquote lesser opponent, right? So yeah. I was a bit confused, but I guess he's still
and
a baby face.
This is a heel turn for Edge, but I disagree. I think it just makes... It's like he was just, like, misguided, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I think, because I think Vince wants a villainous Edge, which I think I agree that would be better, although I still don't like him and don't want him on my TV screens, but even though I don't watch it. I think it just makes him look like he was just like misguided and like was kind of retaliating or whatever. I don't think he really looks
like
a heel.
I feel
like
he's been progressing less babyface, though, since he first got back. So I feel like anyways, I'll get to it. So this match,
just in the light of the moment, I think, because I don't watch stuff.
People have gone nuts with praise for this match as well, and I disagree again, but only slightly. I thought this was a very good match, but nothing that deserves close to 5 stars, as I've seen in many sort of publications. I thought Bryan was absolutely terrific basically throughout this, but Roman's, and I think it's intentional, so I'm not saying he can't work faster and better.
No, because he has. That's literally, I think before this past year, he's like done that. And I think like he should still do that. I think there should be like times where like he takes control and does the classic heel
right
in control, but I think he should still be able to like keep up with Brian if he really wanted to. Like, I think he can, like, because he's good.
Oh, he is good, but here...
I just think he doesn't need to, because I feel like he's kind of Brock Lesnar-ing right now.
He's doing this, you know? Not even though, because Brock is slow in between and he stalks his opponent, but then it's like, here's 50 cool suplexes, where Roman, that wasn't the case. He was...
Well, yeah, so he's kind of like Brock Lesnar-ing, and I think he shouldn't do that.
Yeah. His offense to me was plodding and basic, and I didn't love it. I get that this is his new character and the style suits him, but I felt like it kept me from like loving.
But
this
I don't
match,
think
right?
it should affect his in-ring style this much, right. though.
That being said, I don't really watch product on Mondays, so maybe if again
Fridays.
Maybe if I did, I'd be more into it. I loved Brian's teasing at the beginning of the match that basically just kind of wrestling circles around Reigns. I loved his facial expressions as he dominated with like this little smirk on his face almost. I thought that was really cool. As you said, I love some of Brian's transitions and reversals into the yes lock, but it was hard to get into any of the near falls because I knew he wasn't going to win, right? So that kind of took me out of it. I thought the phantom tap out by Reigns was a really cool idea, I assume.
Right, and that, and then also Edge's attack will get Brian to the main event. And like I said, I think he can go out with like kind of a bang, which I think is good for him.
So I assume this does mean that Brian will be added to the Mania match. I don't think it's been announced yet, right? Has it? I don't know.
No, it's because so. I literally, when I went to grab that screenshot of the Fiend, it was still Edge versus Roman, because I guess they're going to announce it on SmackDown, even though everyone knows it's going to happen.
So for me, I actually don't mind triple threat matches, and I'm a little more
interested. No, I think it'll make the match much better, in
my
opinion. Me
too. I'm a little more interested in it if Brian is included, I think. And
even
it does,
though he won't win, I don't think.
No, it does seem like Edge is like leaning a little bit tweener or towards heel, so putting in Brian as a babyface is a good idea, I think.
Roman should still come out on top, even if he doesn't have the best matches right now.
So I thought this was a very good match at the end of the day, but I didn't love it like most people. Like, I would say like this is 3¾ stars if I were to do something, but I'm not saying 4.5 or 4¾ like I've seen.
Like 3½, maybe.
But I thought
three.
It was a good match, a pretty good main event. I thought Daniel Bryan was fantastic.
I think the bar is pretty low for matches on this show, but it was probably one of the best things
but
on the show.
But what if you actually like it was booked in such a way that you believed a couple of the near falls? Like for me, that would have bumped it up a little bit.
Right.
But I didn't think any of
and
them were believable.
And maybe Reigns wasn't so Brock Lesnar.
So yeah. So the show overall, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This was a bad show.
It was worse than Elimination Chamber because he didn't even have chamber matches or like other stuff.
Because we're not main roster guys, but we haven't hated the pay-per-views lately, right? Like we've come away
but
going,
Royal
you know
Rumble,
what?
Even with
solid.
Like Goldberg being on there and Edge winning the Rumble, like you had Belair, even the Rumble matches themselves are pretty good.
Yeah, like, we've liked some main roster stuff. So I don't want it to sound like we just hate everything main roster because I think we're pretty fair.
I think we hate most stuff on main roster because it is pretty garbage.
I like
and
this.
And their decisions.
I like this less than most people, I think. I didn't really enjoy the Sheamus McIntyre, and a lot of people did. Rollins Nakamura was fine, and the main event was good, but everything else was forgettable, like the women's tag, the IC, Drew Sheamus, or in my opinion, straight up bad, like Braun Elias and Orton Bliss. There were too many underwhelming finishes along the way, not much energy really or excitement during this show, I didn't find, and rarely does wrestling make me angry because that's not why I'm trying to watch it. But two matches tonight. Were an insulting waste of my time. And for that reason, this pay-per-view earns what I'm pretty sure is the lowest grade I've given anything so far on our show. It's my first foray into the D range. I'm giving this show a D+. There is literally nothing from this pay-per-view that anyone needs to see. And there are, in fact, a few things that people should avoid at all costs, in my opinion. I thought this was a lazy dud of a show. And I kind of wish I'd spent my time doing anything else, although I do enjoy coming and talking about it. So it's sort of like my therapy here to vent about this monstrosity of a pay-per-view that I did not enjoy. What did you think?
I think you pretty much summed it up for me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Like,
I think I like the main event a bit more than you.
I'm going to go with a D. It was a really bad show, especially... Even by Fastlane standards, because Fastlane, it's usually a pretty crummy show.
I think, yeah, you were telling me it generally is, and I kept being like, come on, man, try and be optimistic. You never know, but you were right. This was trash. And I think a slightly lower mark from you makes sense, because I think you liked the Sheamus McIntyre even less than I did, and I think you liked the main event a little bit less than I did as well. So that seems really fair. Well,
That was bad.
That covered that, and I'm pretty much hoping I just forget about this show in general.
No, that'd be very nice.
I'm hoping some listeners enjoyed us talking about something that we didn't enjoy too much, and I think that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us, yeah? You don't have anything else to add here?
No.
So hopefully you enjoyed this quick rundown of this Fastlane pay-per-view, and we would love for any of you to join us back here on Saturday. I think that'll be our next podcast. I may sneak one out with talking about ROH again, maybe tomorrow, but it might be included on the Saturday show. Who knows? But if you subscribe or follow or whatever you can do on our various platforms, you'll know if I put out a show. So again, thanks to anybody who's given us any time out of their week to listen to us talk about wrestling. We really appreciate it. We'd love to hear from anyone, fnswrestling@gmail.com or fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram if you'd like to contact us. And if possible, we look forward to see you on Saturday. And until then, take care, everybody.
Peace out.